Hey everyone, welcome to Locked On Lakers for Friday. Brian Kamenetsky and Andy Kamenetsky. What does Phil Jackson's potential involvement in the Lakers coaching search have to do with the future of Russell Westbrook? We'll talk about that next on Locked On Lakers.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day. No matter how you get your podcasts, where you get your podcasts, we've got fresh Lakers content up for you. Locked On Lakers, Andy, is where people can go to get the show early. It posts earlier there than it does. The audio version does. Any breaking news, stuff like that, will go to YouTube first. Make sure to make another Locked On podcast your next listen of every day. Sam Amick of The Athletic did some reporting, and we'll talk about that and LeBron in relation to LeBron James. Lakers apparently might be okay with going year to year with LeBron should he choose not to sign an extension this offseason. But Andy, Sam also reporting that not everybody is necessarily thrilled with this whole Phil Jackson helps pick the coach thing.
Yeah, from Sam's piece, quote, "Make no mistake, there are powerful people close to the Lakers who aren't thrilled with the reality that Jackson's voice is being taken into account when he has no formal position with the franchise. Like it or not, though, Buss has relied on this sort of informal counsel from people that she trusts for years now. There was the case with Kobe Bryant before his passing that and had everything to do with his choice to hire his former agent, Lakers vice president of basketball operations, Rob Pelinka, in February 2017. People may also recall that Kobe was among the most prominent voices that Jeannie has said helped convince her to fire Jim Buss and Mitch Kupchak.
Wasn't he still connected to the team at that point?
No, he was gone.
No? Oh, that's right. That's right.
He'd been gone timeline. a few years.
The timeline of that. You know, you're right.
There would have been a much bolder move if he was still with the team.
But I'm sure he recommended it while he was still there, though. Wouldn't surprise me in the slightest.
This is something that Jeannie has done, whether you're talking about Kobe, whether you're talking about Phil, whether you're still talking about Magic Johnson, who, need I remind you, bailed famously on the organization, kneecapping and sideswiping everybody, including Jeannie Buss, who still, though, continues to bend his ear.
One of the things that gets me is, like, A, who are we talking about? And it could be, you know, the clutch feet folks who probably don't have good memories of Phil going back to New York when he referred to LeBron James and Rich Paul, you know, the whole posse gate thing. We talked about that, I believe, on Thursday's show. But the other guy who probably doesn't love it is Rob. Is, you know, and I'm not a huge Rob Pelinka fan necessarily, but it can't be easy to do his job when you have these people who are connected to Jeannie and connected to, I guess, the organization tangentially that way, constantly giving their input and kind of like, where do they fall in the power structure and the decision making? Is it easy to go around them? I can't imagine that Rob particularly likes it anytime Magic offers his input, given what Magic did to Rob on the way out the door. I mean, like, none of this makes any sense, even if you don't like Rob Pelinka. It still makes it harder for him to do his job.
I will say, if you're in a relative sliding scale, it is probably easier for Rob to stomach Jeannie going to Phil than going to Magic.
Yes.
But what it doesn't do, though, is bolster the idea that Rob Pelinka is not just the ultimate decision maker, but that he's, you know, lording over a front office that has an immediate delineation of power and like a structure, and that what goes on with the organization happens within a certain amount of walls within a front office that's been selected for particular reasons. I mean, what it does is just reinforce the very widespread narrative that the Lakers basketball operations is set up in a way that is fakakta, as our people would say, Brian.
Yes. Going back to the old country.
Exactly.
And I think that, you know, it's, Every team has these sort of informal points of contact. The people that you, when you need to tamper, who do I go to if I need to tamper? But I, you know, I can't call the GM. I got to call someone. I need a message to get through. Every organization's got those people, and they need to, the Lakers included. I mean, the big problem with Mitch Kupchak is he never tampered. But like the way that it's set up for the Lakers, it wouldn't surprise me when you talk about powerful people close to the team, whether you're talking about agents, whether you're talking about people inside of it, people, players, just being frustrated with not having a real grasp on how exactly to know how decisions are being made, who's making them, who, where you have to go to communicate a message. Like, do you go to, if I want to communicate something to the Lakers, do I go to Magic? Do I go to Phil? Do I go to Rob? What do I do?
Case in point, Magic talked about how when DeMar DeRozan was, by all accounts, an option for the Lakers, and you know he was somebody that LeBron and AD had considered, that DeMar's agent went to Magic and let this be known, and Magic said that he told Rob Pelinka about this, and at this point considered, you know, this no longer his task. But like, unless like you're talking about, Brian, like you're trying to create walls of, you know, walls and buffers during for a tampering situation, and Magic was not clear about when exactly this call took place, and but because this matters, this actually matters.
It matters in this specific incident,
right? Sure. But well, the reason it matters is because unless it's for this reason specifically, there is no reason whatsoever for DeMar DeRozan's agent to be calling Magic at all, as opposed to just going to LeBron.
Going to LeBron.
It was a Freudian slip.
Yeah,
actually,
really.
Correct,
yeah.
But, okay, but going to, if not Rob Pelinka,
right?
Kurt Rambis
and, you know, and
Linda Rambis, like people on the damn payroll who are actually
anybody
in the front
just
office.
Dial the front desk.
But like, but you know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. My larger point is too, like, even if in this particular case there were reasons or, you know, mitigating circumstances, whatever it might be, it's certainly not hard to come up with hypotheticals that get you to a place where you say, I am externally, you know, somebody who deals in the power, you know, sort of the transactional power of the Lakers. And I've got people that we're talking about stuff and we're doing things and we're trying to put things together. And I don't know exactly who I'm supposed to be talking to. And like I said, if I talk to Rob about something, is that going to be undercut by Magic Johnson or Phil Jackson? If I do something with Phil because I think Phil is connected, is that going to be undercut then by Rob? Because Rob, like, I just don't get it. And, you know,
well, it's
also important for
people to remember that it is, even with the best run front offices across the league that are generally on the same page, creating consensus can be difficult under those circumstances, much less if you're trying to figure out consensus within whoever is on the payroll as an exec. And then the outside forces you're talking about.
And you don't have control over those external people in the same way. Certainly you're not going to, you know, Magic Johnson constantly talks in ways that undermine the broad interests of the franchise. I mean, just like all the time, it's basically like 27% of his Twitter feed is doing stuff that the Lakers would probably prefer he not say publicly.
Think what he would do if he and Jeannie weren't tight.
Right. <Didn't>
like her. This is Magic in presumably helpful mode.
Right. That's a good point. And so, you know, just the org chart doesn't help. It doesn't benefit from stuff like this. And I'm sort of less intrigued or concerned by the who of the doesn't want Phil involved, because that in some ways is gossip based. I didn't say I'm totally uninterested, because I do like gossip. It's fun. But the why is really about it. Like I said, agents, players and stuff like that, knowing why they don't like Phil's involvement to me is far more interesting. The other part of it, Andy, that we didn't necessarily touch on a ton for Thursday's show, but is very relevant, is the role that Phil Jackson might play with Russell Westbrook and his future in Los Angeles. And we'll explain that next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Built Bar. Eating smart, but also eating enjoyably. It has never tasted better. You can treat yourself now without feeling guilty. Like, for example, have you tried the Puffs? If you have not tried the Puffs, you are missing out on one of Built Bar's best tasting bars. They are the first ever protein-infused marshmallow. This is like science's greatest discovery, better than every single vaccine that we've ever had, the discovery of gravity, whatever. It's these puffs. You know why? Because they're fluffy, they're marshmallowy, and they are covered in 100% real chocolate. That is,
when you put all three of them together, they do definitely eke out vaccines. I think you're right. Two of the three, I'd still put polio in front of that, but, but you know, we get all three.
Screw you, Salk. You got great flavors like cinnamon churro, and only 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, with 17 grams of protein, and that's the good stuff. So go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, get 15% off your order. Again, promo code LOCKED15, 15% off at built.com.
So, Andy, one of the interesting side notes of this whole Phil thing is the little nuggets that went out there that Phil Jackson is a fan of Russell Westbrook.
This was in Sam's piece as well.
Yeah, and we've seen that in other places around that are talking about Phil's involvement. It gets to the question then of if Phil is involved, could this be a, you know, looking for a coach that actually could work with Russell Westbrook? Could this increase the odds that Russell Westbrook is going to be back with the Lakers next year in a capacity that is, you know, a guy on the court? And it is a reminder to me, at least. Lakers fans are making a terrible mistake if they just go all in and get their heart set on Russell Westbrook not playing on this team next year. And the Lakers are even making an even bigger mistake if they do the same thing, because there are a lot of live scenarios, Andy, in which it is just better to have Russ back. And personally, you can tell me if you disagree, I think if he's back on the roster next year, it makes more sense to at least try to see if you can get something productive out of the this threesome that didn't work well together this year before you cut bait. Unless it's, you know, again, if Russ says, I don't want to do it, that's different. But if he says, I want to try, and you have a coach that says, I want to try, and I'm willing to try, and the other guys are willing to try, it makes sense to try, because Westbrook is not negative value. He is a player who is still better than, you know, whoever they're going to fill the roster spot with, most likely.
It's a separate question. He is not negative value as a player by himself in terms of his overall talent. I mean, we talked about this all the time when we'd hear people say, play Westbrook off the bench, or, you know, make him play only 15 minutes, drastically reduce his minutes. Lakers couldn't afford to do that because he was still like the third best player on the team. Any way you slice this, Russ was their third best player, fourth maybe on his worst days, but he was on the upper echelon of their talent scale easily. Problem is, though, he does not fit with what they're looking to do.
There's no question, and I'm not even claiming
I know that, but what I'm saying is, in certain respects, he does become negative value because he's such a big presence, and if you can't actually fit with what you're looking to do, that presence on the court and also in the locker room could start reaching a place where you actually do understand it as negative value, and his trade value, if nothing else, could also be considered negative.
If the season starts and Westbrook is still on the team, the trade value that he has going forward, my only point is if they find themselves in a situation where Westbrook is back because the Lakers couldn't come up with a trade scenario that makes sense to them,
right?
Which is very possible.
Well, it's also very important. I will stress this over and over. Russell Westbrook is a one-year problem for this team unless you turn him into a multi-year problem.
Like that one guy who comments constantly on the YouTube page who wants to give him an extension.
Yes.
That would turn him into a multi-year problem.
Yes, and that is a terrible idea.
Terrible idea. But if that's the case, and Westbrook comes back and you got a new coach and, you know, it's a kind of a fresh start sort of scenario and all this sort of thing, I just think if you have this player, rather than starting with paying him to go away, start by seeing if you can make it work. You might find quickly that it doesn't. But I think everyone, especially the Lakers, needs to make sure they have contingency. I guess fans can do whatever they want. If you really, really want to get wrapped up in the idea of Westbrook being gone, that's up to you. But like, the Lakers need to have live, planned out contingencies of what they're going to do if Russ is still there next year. Yeah. And that to me was the biggest thing about the Phil part of it is like, it's a reminder that Phil or no Phil, Westbrook could be back next year.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, it's not a given that they can find a deal that makes sense for them. And you are correct that if everybody involved is saying the right things, whether you're talking about Russ, whether you're talking about coach to be named later, LeBron, AD, down the line, if everybody, you know, granted they said all the right things heading the last season and it did not work, but if everybody
but now they're a year wiser, Andy, and they've all learned.
Exactly. If everybody
Westbrook, known for learning and bending in that way.
Oh yeah, no. I've always said he is the league's most flexible player. He's just you just drop that guy in
bastion
any situation.
Of accommodation that
way. Oh yeah. No. Well, if you ask him, I mean, remember I asked Russell about this directly during his exit interview. I asked Russ if he embraced the adjustments that were asked of him versus just looking to do them, because there's a difference. And Russ understood exactly what I meant by that difference. And he said, not only did he embrace these changes, he's actually been the guy that over the course of his career typically has to adjust the most. And he's always embraced that. I would suggest to Russ, he should work on his like adjusting face or like adjusting body language. Because what he is feeling during the process of these adjustments, I would argue it doesn't read the same way to the audience or perhaps his teammates or coaches or anybody watching at all, other than maybe the Westbrook family.
Right.
It doesn't translate.
But look, there is some precedent for this. Because, I mean, look, if Russ is here in October, it's because the avenues to try... I mean, if we're up to... I don't think Westbrook wants to come back. I don't think the Lakers want him to come back. So if he's here, it's because they couldn't figure out a way to do that. He's going to make his money regardless. And, you know, I mean, I think if he understands he's not going to be in LA after next year, if you want to try to figure out how am I going to, he's not going to make $47 million on his next contract. So what is my space in the NBA after next season, after I'm done with the Lakers? I don't know if that's a sixth man. I don't know what that, but like, it's not going to be Russell Westbrook as he's sort of currently conceived. So maybe next year is a way to sort of test drive some of that to show other teams, you know, in ways that guys like Carmelo Anthony have had to do and other players have had to do, Dwight Howard, that, okay, I've reached a point, Mike. So maybe there's a scenario there. And, you know, Lamar Odom, who was in his prime when Phil Jackson told him that he's coming off the bench, said in our presence that he had lost his rabbit mind. And
Phil did, not Lamar.
Right. Lamar said that to Phil. And he, you know, it turned into a great thing. And so I'm not saying it'll be easy. I'm not saying it'll be frictionless. I'm just saying that
Lamar was slightly easier to work with than Russ.
Yes.
just a smidge.
A little. And had less sort of leverage in the league. He was still as good as a player as he was. He's still Lamar Odom, and Russell Westbrook is a, you know, first ballot Hall of Famer. Westbrook may need to make it work. That's the other thing too. Russ may need to make it work. It's not a one-way street here, at least in some shapings of this future.
Look, some guys figure out ways to make it work. You mentioned Melo, you mentioned Dwight Howard, then there's guys like Allen Iverson who,
of course, it took Melo like 3 years, but
right, but yeah. Allen Iverson absolutely refused. Mm-hmm. And it ultimately was his undoing in the league, as far as, you know, however much longer he could have played, it was because he absolutely refused to adjust. It's also important to remember, A, this could be just posturing in some ways, like them putting out messaging of, hey, we are not going to be so desperate in any negotiations to move Russ. You know, projecting more comfort at having him on the team next season than they really may feel. Also, too, I got to say, with Phil being a, you know, conciliary of sorts to Genie, if he's a big fan of Russ, I question how much he's been watching the league over the last decade. Because, again, Russ is not washed, not trying to bag on him. But even in his prime,
He was kind of
he was the opposite of what Phil usually coveted in a player.
A triangle guy.
You know, he can operate out of the post a bit, but sometimes it works even last season. But for the most part, like, it makes me wonder, just is Phil keeping up with the league as the guy that they're asking for advice with who to hire as coach? Like, is Phil watching? Just worth throwing out there.
LeBron mentioned in this report from Sam that the Lakers might be okay, because there has been some speculation LeBron wouldn't want to sign the extension with the Lakers this year. This offseason would add 2 years, $90 million to the deal. The Lakers might be okay going year to year with him. Is that a good idea? That's next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline.net, your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs, Major League Baseball, and more. If you're still not quite sure exactly how the baseball is going to play out, still pretty young in the season. It's like 600 games or whatever it is. It's a Oh my God. I remember when you and I covered baseball, like really covered it for the LA Times for 3 years, covered the Dodgers.
Too damn long.
Oh my, you and I, we didn't travel except for the playoffs, and we split home games between us, because we discovered pretty quickly don't both need to be there. Oh my God, it still was a slog. But anyway, baseball fans, you can bet on baseball, and you can get some advice and perspective from betonline.net. Go to the preview sections for MLB, for the AL and NL. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today. Use your mobile device. Learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Yeah, a couple things. First, if you have three numbers in the how many games are in your season slot, you're doing it wrong. That's just, yeah, take a note there. And second, regarding my, you know, my kernel of optimism around this Westbrook thing, it should also be noted that my wife still doesn't let me really feel comfortable when I leave the house by myself, because she's concerned I'm going to go sell, like, you know, the family cow for magic beans. So I even now probably have too much faith in humanity.
That's why we work together, Brian.
Yes. So you just keep that in mind as well, if you were feeling better about it. We actually floated this idea a couple weeks ago, at this point, that the Lakers, because this is when the speculation LeBron might not want to sign an extension with the Lakers came out, like, would he go year to year, and would that be necessarily the worst thing? Sam Amick, who reported that initially, is now reporting that the Lakers might be okay with it. As you said, with the Westbrook thing, that could also be posturing. They might not like it at all. But if, assuming they're telling the truth, what are your thoughts?
This is all predicated on how good do you think LeBron and AD are going to be as a foundation for, let's say, the next 3 years. Like, there's this coming season plus an extension for the next two. So let's say the next three. How much confidence do you have with that? If you're feeling confident, then I guess you could feel good about a scenario where LeBron is year to year, and therefore, at least in terms of the way his relationships with every other team he's ever been on, including at times the Lakers during this stint, there is always that pressure to keep him happy. So you might feel more pressure with LeBron always having that looming exit to leverage, that you would give up some, if not all, of the limited trade assets that you have in an effort to always keep LeBron happy, so you can always get him to re-up for another year where you do the whole dance all over again. If you feel good about the foundation of LeBron and AD, okay, that may be a dance you're willing to do. If you feel okay telling LeBron no and risking him leaving at the end of one of those years, okay. I question at that point why exactly you're doing this. And that would be my biggest thing, is just how good do you think this team is? Because if you think it's great, okay, this is the cost of doing business with LeBron. If you have any concerns about it, then I really question what you're doing, because you're either going to be throwing good money after bad towards a foundation that you don't think is that great anyway. So then you have to question why. Is this because you want to make sure you have LeBron on the team because you're trying to make up a lot of lost revenue from like a decade of poor teams, no playoffs, lost revenue because of the pandemic, yada, 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 or you're just trying to put off the inevitable with a rebuild. So really it comes down to how good do you think this foundation is? Why are you comfortable being year to year with LeBron?
I look at me. I don't know if this is looking at it slightly differently or not. If they're okay, the problem with year to year with LeBron, in theory, is every year you feel a compulsion to do literally everything that you can do to make yourself championship caliber. Because if you don't, LeBron will leave.
Yep.
So I will say they are somewhat buoyed by the fact that they can't really do much to go all in. So that's somewhat helpful in a dark kind of way. But if you're okay with drawing lines, and you're okay with the idea that that line might mean LeBron goes, then I actually think year to year could be the ideal situation for everyone. If you have a setup where LeBron is understanding of the position that he's putting the Lakers in, I want to stay here year to year because my family's here, I like it here, but if Bronny shows up in Minnesota in 3 years, I want to be able to go to Minnesota and I want to just be able to go. And I want to sign a minimum contract and go play for the Timberwolves or whatever it is. If I know I have 1 year left and I really want to try to compete for a title, I want to be able to go. And you guys, hopefully you'll be there. Okay. If everybody's kind of, but LeBron also says, but I understand because of that, you can't do certain things to please me. So this doesn't work if they're terrified the star will leave. If they're not, then it's okay. It could work.
I think it depends on how you define work. I also just sort of, again, unless the team is really good, in which case you would understand giving up assets, whatever, because you're trying to get yourself that much better towards winning a championship. I just question if this is just a willful exercise of spinning wheels by everybody involved.
Right, but if you think that these, you know, I guess if you think that the best thing to do, the fastest way, or like you're not, that this core has no chance of winning a title, then I guess you try to trade Anthony Davis and LeBron James and do the best you can. I happen to think that, like a lot of people, you're trading Anthony Davis at a near low value to sure. what he is. And I think LeBron is going to be very difficult to trade. So you could, quote unquote, blow it up. You've still got all those assets going to New Orleans.
No, but he's under contract next season regardless. I'm talking about going into one-year mode.
That's fine. You don't have to you know, automatically panic and trade LeBron if he doesn't sign an extension because you're worried about him not staying, as long as you're not paranoid about him not staying.
Right.
And, you know, you can try to build stuff around him. You can do the best and try to win and all that kind of stuff. Because what's the alternative?
Move towards what
right,
is inevitably by going
doing
to happen.
What? Trading quicker. Him for what?
I don't know for
right,
what.
Trading him, but if you don't trade it, you trade him for anything. I'm just saying I am not convinced yet that the blow it up strategy gets you anywhere faster than
that
the
may
potential
not be.
Benefit than the potential that, benefit of trying to do what you can with these guys.
I understand
without doing something stupid.
All I'm saying is sure, but my point is the idea that there's no harm from it, I disagree with. Even if they don't feel pressure, I actually disagree there is potentially harm to it, because I feel like in some ways you're just spinning your wheels because you don't want to do some of the stuff that the Lakers hate to do.
All right. Well, I suspect this will not be the last time this offseason we bring up this topic. Locked On Lakers on YouTube is, of course, where you go to see the podcast and get all the breaking news reaction to that when free agency starts to hit, when trade season starts, when coaching hiring starts. That'll all go up on the YouTube page first. Make another Locked On podcast your second listen of every day. Hope you have a great weekend. We'll see you. Happy Mother's Day. All the mothers out there.
Yes.
See you on Monday.